Hello and welcome to Church Planning Conversations, a podcast presented by the Asbury Church Planning Initiative.
Welcome to Church Planning Conversations, and I am excited to have Dr. Greg Okeson, who's Dean of the E. Stanley School of World Missions at Asbury Theological Seminary, with us here today. How are you doing, Greg?
I'm doing well, Winfield. Thanks.
Well, it's good to have you with us. Greg is going to be sharing some of his own passion and experience in the area of church planting, and his involvement with global church planting over the last few decades. And so, again, it's great to have you here with us. Greg, tell us a little bit about yourself and your experience coming from Africa and your previous work with church planting.
Yeah, so maybe to start out with, I'm a third-generation missionary. So my grandparents were missionaries in Tanzania, East Africa. My parents were missionaries in Kenya. I was born in Kenya. So I carry that heritage with me, and Africa has shaped my lenses, shaped my affections, shaped my theology in such deep, powerful ways. We lived in East Africa, both in Tanzania and in Kenya, for 13 years, beginning with church planting among an unreached Muslim people group in north central Tanzania. And really, it were those years that just framed so much of my missiology, my theology. We did health and agricultural development as we were doing church planting, learning the language, which was actually not a written language, living with the people, and trying to make connections between the gospel of Jesus Christ and the realities of our neighbors and the things that they faced. So after those years, we went up to Kenya and worked at a theological institution, much like Asbury, where I was privileged to be able to train church planters. So did that for about a decade, taught, did administration, and really was able to be a part of the incredible privilege of training African church planters and sending them out. So I've been at Asbury for about 10 years now, and still am involved in church planting. So my wife and I were a part of a multicultural pre-launch church plant that's located on University of Kentucky's campus, really focused upon doing church planting among the nations. And so carry that heritage, that heart with me into everything that I'm doing.
Greg, that's wonderful. One of the, you know, I tell people the last 5 years have been some of the most, probably the most exciting 5 years that I've ever had in ministry, working with you and others here at Asbury Seminary with the Church Planning Initiative. And we've been able to be on a couple trips together. I get to go to Kenya with you, and so I'd love for you to just kind of share with the listeners some of your experience, some of the things that you've encountered over the last several years, kind of working with the Church Planning Initiative and your leadership, and some of the involvement, some of the countries, maybe some stories that come to mind over the last 5 years with the Church Planning Initiative.
Yeah, it's a privilege. You know, 5, 6, even 7 years ago, we were dreaming of this. And there weren't, at least in our understanding, there weren't any theological institutions that were significant players in terms of church planting and training church planting, connecting with church planting. So we spent about 2 years just convening conversations with people. And I joke, we would ask them two questions. We would say, how can a Western theological institution help church planting around the world? And how can Western church, Western theological institution hurt church planting. I remember this one conversation in which the guy spoke for about 40 minutes about the dangers that he saw of a Western institution. And I think that that listening and convening conversations is one of the things that we continue to do really well and that you do so well. I think really what we're doing is we're just setting a table for people and saying, bring to us your goods, bring to us those things that we need to learn, challenge us, help us to see beyond our horizons. So I think it's been 5, 6, 7 years of deep listening, convening conversations. I know personally, I have grown so much listening and being a part of the privilege of coming alongside people. So as you've talked, we do a lot of training. We do non-degree training all around the world. We do MA training. We do doctoral training. Some of the non-degree or certificate or institute training, you and I went to Kenya. We've been to Montreal. I think one of the ones that really stands out to me is we were in a really rural part of India and had the privilege of doing some training with like 130 church planters among tribal people. And I mean, this was right out of the pages of the New Testament. Mm. And, you know, we're doing training, but Dr. Iberola and I, we were just fascinated. And I remember he did a mapping project in which he had them map out their villages and really think in terms of using some anthropological skills of looking at their communities and how to reach their communities. And the bishop who was leading this, he immediately called for some people and they brought out these big pieces of paper and they had different tribal groups spread out all over this big classroom. And they did this mapping project and just began telling stories. And I tell you, I mean, even at the end of my days, that's going to be one of the great privileges of just listening to these men and women who just are going out, often by foot, going out into really rural areas, power encounter, spiritual conflict, the ways that they're addressing issues of poverty. I mean, it really is amazing, and there are hundreds of churches that have been planted by this group. So I think while we ourselves are going and doing training, I think so much we are listening, we're learning, we're growing. And I think that's so important for a Western theological institution is that we come with this humility to say that we don't have all the answers for what God is doing around the world. We want to be able to teach. We want to do research. We want to come alongside and grow fruit on other people's trees. But we ourselves want fruit grown on our trees, and we want them grown by people all around the world. So, it's just been a tremendous 5 years of doing this. And you think of the partnerships, you think of the friendships, you think of the students. I mean, we have a huge cohort of Bhutanese, Nepalese students who are here in the United States that we get the privilege of journeying for 3 years on a master's program. The depth of the relationships, even my church planting that I'm doing in Lexington has actually come out of relationships that I've had both in the Doctor of Ministry and the Master's degree. So I think we've really benefited ourselves as well as hopefully been a part of building up the kingdom of God around the world.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I think one of the things that I've loved about it is, you know, I tell people that being here at Asbury and the work we're doing has really introduced me to the global church. And you're absolutely right. From the very beginning, what really kind of drew me into this work was just the posture of humility, the posture of saying, hey, we want to provide bilateral learning. Like we want to share, but we also want to be learners. And so it's really kind of taking a posture of humility to learn from what God's doing through the global church that I think really makes kind of our approach, if you will, to training church planters around the world very unique. Rather than us coming and telling you what to do, we're going to come alongside and learn together.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. And, you know, I think we'd be remiss to not mention that our president is a missiologist. And
somebody yes, absolutely.
Carries deep within his DNA this passion for church planting. And he himself carries that ethos that we're talking about. So it's so, you know, it's such a joy to be at an institution in which even, you know, from the very top, this mm-hmm. is in our DNA. Yeah. And so I do think it sets us apart. You know, I think it's harder work because you are constantly wrestling and learning and growing. Mm-hmm. But I think that posture that you're talking about is so important for theological education, that we do have something to give, but we have so much to receive.
Yeah, I really can honestly say the last 5 years has really been more of a personal learning experience for me. It's been a wonderful journey. It's been great to share it with you. I've joked with you. I'm doing research right now at Aberdeen and have selected ethnography as my kind of primary methodology, kind of using qualitative research. And you've really kind of inspired me to kind of look at the world with kind of missiological lenses. And so I'm really thankful for that.
Yeah.
Well, hey, as we're kind of on that note, I know one of the things you're really passionate about as a dean and as a global educator is training and training leaders and, you know, for the global context in which we're in. Tell us a little bit about one of the programs that you help oversee is the Master of Arts Intercultural Studies Church Planning degree, which is really with an emphasis in church planning. It's really kind of our kind of marquee church planning program that we have. I'd love for you to just share a little bit about that and what makes it unique and why you're passionate about that.
I think it's some of the richest training that we do. I think it's some of the richest training that I've seen any place in the world. And obviously I'm biased, but I say that really honestly. I think at heart and center, it's based upon missiology, and especially in a really good Leslie Newbegin sense of missiology that really takes the gospel of Jesus Christ seriously. So there's rich theology in this degree. It takes the church of Jesus Christ seriously. I love where Leslie Newbegin talks about the local congregation as the hermeneutic of the gospel. I think that's just, you know, I'm more passionate today about local congregations than I've ever been before. And I've been a pastor and I've been a church planter, and I've seen a lot of the ugliness of the church, but that's so much who we are, is that we are the Church of Jesus Christ called into the world as the hermeneutic of the gospel. And then it's a degree that takes culture seriously, and culture is constantly changing. It's dynamic. And so there are no one or two or three or four church planting models, but that really what we want to do is see churches actually blossom in the soil where they are found. So this degree is cohort-based. We recruit groups of students together, and they're on a three-year process together. So the kind of formation that happens amongst them, the kind of community that happens, the depth of the relationships is so powerful. We want to keep people in ministry, so we do not want to bring them to Wilmore, Kentucky, or Orlando, or Tulsa, or Colorado Springs. We don't want to pull them out of their ministry. We want to keep them in ministry. So we have short residencies once a year, but the rest is using hybrid education. So, and we want all of our courses to actually directly impact the ministry where these students are called. So we actually want the education to come to life for these students. So I think those are some of the main characteristics. And so we're constantly looking for students that would want to join and be a part of who we are. So there's wonderful opportunities on our website for you if you're listening to this, or if you might know some people that might be interested, and we can actually we can recruit whole cohorts of students. So if there's 15 students that are a part of an organization or a church or in an area, and we can actually bring the residencies to you. So I think it's really a dynamic, very nimble degree. And I think, again, focusing upon the gospel, the church, and study of cultures really makes this degree so incredibly transformative and relevant for the context where we're planting or remissioning local congregations.
Greg, that's a great introduction. I wonder, as we kind of close out, what are maybe just a couple, could be maybe one, two, three things that you would say, these are some kind of lessons that I've learned from global church planting that would help those that are kind of seeking to plant or in the process of planting, to help them kind of engage where they are locally. Yeah. What are maybe a couple lessons or things that you would just kind of say to church planters out there that you think would be helpful?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we do is we study the way that churches and the gospel has spread historically and in our contemporary world is the importance of communities of witness. And again, coming back to local congregations, I think the danger, at least in the West, is that we focus upon the planter. But I think what we've really come to realize is that there might be catalysts, there might be different key persons that play a key role, but it's so important that we plant churches through communities, and in order to do that, discipleship is so important that we've got to place more emphasis upon discipleship. And in some cases, like the church that I'm planting right now in Lexington, discipleship is happening prior to us planting a church.
Yeah.
That we really need to do that deep discipleship work in order to have this community by which we can actually plant a church. And then, one of the things that is really important to me is that these congregations have a public witness to them, that we actually think about more than just the conversion of individuals. And we always want we want the firmness of the gospel. We want the personal aspect of the gospel. But how do we actually think about issues of race? How do we think of issues of poverty? I mean, this was the critical lesson that I learned in Tanzania, is that how do you plant a church among people who are impoverished without actually witnessing to poverty? How do we take seriously the publics around the congregation, wherever we find ourselves? So I think it's led some of us to actually talk about a public missiology, and many of us would go back again to Leslie Newbegin as being one of the great fathers for that. And maybe the last thing I'd mention is that, we used to talk about domestic and global, like there was domestic and there was global, but these days global is everywhere. And so I mentioned the Bhutanese, Nepalese cohorts that we're training. People are on the move all around the world. And so I think it really foregrounds the importance that we plant churches that are highly contextualized, and that we take seriously multicultural, cross-cultural realities, because this is the world that we live in, and it's both beautiful and it's ugly. We see pain, but we also seeing God doing some incredible deep reconciliation work between people, and I think that's where the Church of Jesus Christ needs to be. And that's what we need to be a part of, is to seeing more and more of that around the world. So I'm really excited about what God is doing, even as I feel deeply pained by all the deep hurts and the deep hatred and the abuse that we find in this world. But God is accomplishing something, right? And God's taking this world and God and the the Bride of Jesus Christ is an important part of that. So we need more and more communities of witness.
Amen. I know Dr. Tennant, the president, in a kind of an address coming out of COVID, you know, used the term kind of, we're in a season of disruptive grace. And a good friend of ours, Mark Dunwoody, who's in the UK, you know, has kind of given this analogy of, you know, I lived on an island for a number of years prior to moving here of, you know, when a storm blows through, it creates and, you know, it disrupts the, you know, the water patterns, the wind and rain surge often creates a new beach. And I think we're kind of in this new moment, and more than ever before, I think church planting and the creation of new faith communities that have those things that you just mentioned, I think really are kind of core essentials as we look at, you know, new churches for a new world.
Yeah. And there's deep, deep, beautiful theology behind that, really going back to the doctrine of the Trinity. And I think so it doesn't take us into just strategy. It actually takes us back to the centrality of the doctrines and who we are as the Bride of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Well, Greg, thank you so much for being with us today. Thankful for the work that you're doing. You've got a book that recently came out. You want us to just kind of highlight that as we close out?
Sure. It's called A Public Missiology, How Churches Witness in a Complex World. So I think it's trying to think through how do we actually position our local congregations and our church planting to actually have a broader witness in the publics around the local congregation. So that's what I'm wrestling with within the book, and so yeah,
that's fabulous. If you want to learn more about Greg, his book is actually available on AsburyChurchPlanting.com or ChurchPlantingInitiative.com. If you want to learn more about the Church Planting Initiative, the Master of Arts Intercultural Studies with an emphasis in church planting degree that Greg talked about, or any of the books. Another book that we helped put together from a global summit that we hosted a few years ago is called Global Voices, Stories of Church Planting from Around the World, that features case studies. That's available as well at AsburyChurchPlanting.com. Greg, thanks so much for being with us today.
All right. Thanks, Winfield.